Last weekend, Rebecca Lobo was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And if I could listen to her acceptance speech on repeat, I probably would. She told stories about her time at the University of Connecticut and about realizing her dream of going pro in the WNBA. She talked about meeting her husband, Sports Illustrated writer Steve Rushen, and she talked about her kids.
When my oldest daughter was about 5 years old, it was March Madness, so I was on the road calling a basketball game. And my husband was watching the UConn men's team. And my five-year-old came in and looked at the TV, and she said, "Daddy, are those boys playing basketball?" And he said, "Yes, they are." And she said, "I didn't know boys played basketball, too."
In honor of Rebecca Lobo's Hall of Fame induction, we'd like to give a 2012 Sports Illustrated column written by Steve Rushen a double play. That's what we call our occasional feature that turns sports columns into radio dramas. The column was called Finding a Long-Forgotten Gold Medal and Getting Chills All Over Again.
These are the best athletes in the world.
The announcer was saying over an Olympic event that was blocked by my 7-year-old silhouette, her head, ears, and pigtails backlit by the TV screen. A light bulb buzzed to life above that head, and she said, without turning around,
"Mom, you were in the Olympics, right? A long time ago,"
my wife said from her armchair.
"Still,"
our daughter said, checking the math of her own logic.
"That means you were one of the best people in the world at basketball?"
"And yet you can't even microwave oatmeal," she seemed to imply. Like everyone else, our 4 kids have been watching the Olympics with growing fascination. After much nagging, I'd spent an afternoon driving around town trying, without success, to buy a volleyball net. We spent an evening in the driveway trying, again, without success, to corner kick a beach ball into the basketball hoop. It seemed like an Olympian pursuit, difficult, random, slightly ridiculous. Our 5-year-old got so into synchronized diving that she was left bereft by the arrival of its perverse cousin, non-synchronized diving.
"Why is there only one person up there?"
she asked with mounting horror. But the kids' Olympic spirit was most evident when they were racing down the upstairs hallway, or racing scooters down the driveway, or fighting to be first in the car. Their usual taunts of,
"I won, you lost,"
replaced by Olympian taunts of,
"I won gold, you won silver.
Where's your gold medal?"
our 5-year-old daughter asked her mother after one of these races.
"In a bank,"
she replied, and then, after a pause,
"At least, I think it is."
The kids had never seen her gold medal. I'd never seen her gold medal. And my wife, Rebecca Lobo, hadn't seen her own gold medal in 16 years, since a few days after she'd won it in Atlanta. Now she wondered if it really was still in that safe deposit box for which she hadn't seen a bill in ages. What if the bank lost her forwarding address and auctioned off the box, perhaps to one of those guys on Storage Wars? I pictured Barry Weiss holding it in those skeleton glove hands of his.
"Can we see your gold medal?"
our 7-year-old asked. 11 seconds later, we were in the van. In the cold silence of the bank lobby, a manager appeared with countless keys. She unlocked one exterior door and then the kind of shiny steel door seen in heist movies. She stepped inside that metal box and withdrew a smaller metal box, which my wife unlocked to reveal a third box. This one wood, like a small humidor, with the Atlanta 1996 logo on the top. For the first time since she was 22, she opened it, slowly. As if revealing an engagement ring, she raised the medal to her nose and said,
"I wonder if it still smells like beer."
As well it might, for the medal hadn't seen daylight since she returned slightly hungover from the Atlanta airport, where security officials had demanded she remove it from her duffel bag so they could inspect it. Gold medals get this all the time in public. They're rubbed, grabbed, groped, and bitten, the way cashiers bit nickels in 1895. It's like being on the subway 24 hours a day, which is why it has been in solitary confinement for most of its life. I picked up the medal by its green and gold ribbon and hung it around my 3-year-old's neck. He scratched at the edge where women's basketball was engraved in tiny letters, as if it were gold foil wrapping concealing a chocolate coin. The 5-year-old put it on, then the 7-year-old, and finally the 1-year-old, who bit into it. The raised Olympic logo, now 5 teething rings.
May I?
It was the bank manager who ran her fingers across the metal and said,
I've always wanted to see one.
The bank manager's boss emerged from an office and hefted the metal in her palm. A customer in work boots paused to take a gander, and then the bank teller from her window across the lobby whisper shouted,
Is it okay if I've been watching the Olympics, and I...
And suddenly there was a group of us, standing around a bank lobby, looking at this glorious beer coaster. 92.5% silver, plated in 24-karat gold, getting inexplicably misty-eyed at 1 p.m. on a Monday afternoon. Finally, the manager spoke.
I saw one of these on Pawn Stars,
she said, sending a shudder down my wife's spine. In fact, the gold and silver pawn shop in Las Vegas has 2 Olympic medals, both bronze. One from Atlanta, priced at $20,000, and one from Barcelona, priced at $10,000. It would be foolish to leave an Olympic gold medal around the house, especially one full of little kids. But those kids were treating it like a puppy at the pound.
Can we take it home?
The 7-year-old asked, stroking its chin and thinking of names for it. And so we did, for 2 days, where it sat on the kitchen counter receiving a small line of neighbors, children, and UPS guys. Today, we're returning it to captivity before it's forever lost in the sandbox. The gold medal, we reasoned, had spent most of its life in prison. It's a hardened criminal who gets out of the joint for a few days, then commits a petty crime to get sent back in where it's most comfortable. We know it's happy there, and we've promised to visit soon. It knows we won't, and it's probably right. But it makes the goodbye a little easier.
That's our double play of Steve Rushen's August 8th, 2012 Sports Illustrated column called Finding a Long-Forgotten Gold Medal and Getting Chills All Over Again. Many thanks to actors Rob Mattson, Amanda Balaguer, Amory Sievertson, Louise Kennedy, and Tom Berry for helping us bring that story to radio. Thank you.